From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming voanews.id.
Hello listeners, welcome back to me Ahmad Faisal in English program. Hopefully you are so fine and still have spirit to listen our program today. And for these 60 minutes ahead, we would like to accompany you with various segments that cannot only entertain you, but also educate as well as inform you our several beneficial information and entertainment such as news, commentary, and also other self-information, as well as Indonesian pop songs. Well, listeners, we begin our program with news. So stay tuned with us on Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id.
Here is the news for the lines. United Nations chief urged immediate ceasefire in Syria's northwest. Japan ready to help repatriate 78 Indonesians from Diamond Princess. Those are the lines. Now the news in detail. I'm Dalat Pane. United Nations Secretary General Antonio Guterres called for an immediate ceasefire amid the ongoing offensive in northwest Syria. His spokesperson, Stephen Dujarric, said in a statement on Thursday, escorted by Sputnik. The situation in Syria's northwest has escalated recently, mainly in the provinces of Idlib and Aleppo. The Syrian army has liberated many of the remaining militant-controlled areas in western and northwestern Aleppo province, destroying enemy fortifications and shelling militia with artillery along the way, according to Syrian Arab news agency Sana reports. In Idlib, Syrian army shelling of one of Turkey's 12 observation posts in the militant-held province last week prompted Turkish forces to attack dozens of Syrian targets, with Moscow urging Ankara against further escalation. The Syrian government has been carrying out counter-terrorism operations in Idlib for quite a while, aimed at eliminating the terrorist elements in the province, which still remains a hotbed for militant factions mostly under control of Hayat Tahrir al-Sham, which is a terrorist group outlawed in Russia. The Israeli Defense Forces, IDF, will conduct a significant reshuffle and establish a new directorate to plan military strategy and coordinate actions in the light of an increasing threat from Iran, an IDF spokesman announced on Thursday. The creation of an Iran-focused directorate is part of a further reshuffle planned by Chief of Staff Lieutenant General Afif Kochafi to be put into effect this summer, and the measures have been approved by Defense Minister Naftali Bennett. According to the Times of Israel newspaper, the new directorate, to be called the Strategy and Iran Directorate, will be led by an official with the rank of Major General. The Israeli Defense Forces, IDF, currently has major generals in place to oversee operations against Hezbollah and Hamas, the newspaper reported. The aim of the reshuffle project is to ensure that IDF maintains air, intelligence, and technological supremacy over its enemies, the newspaper stated. Relief passengers began leaving a coronavirus-wrecked cruise ship in Japan on Wednesday after testing negative for the disease that has now claimed more than 2,000 lives in China. The Diamond Princess has proved a fertile breeding ground for the virus, with at least 542 positive cases, and Japan has faced mounting criticism for its quarantine arrangements as the passengers disperse. The ship is the biggest cluster outside China, where new figures showed the death toll surging beyond 2,000, with more than 74,000 infected. Hundreds more cases have been reported in 2 dozen countries for the 500 passengers allowed to disembark after testing negative. A difficult 14 quarantine period has come to an end after the dream cruise turned into a nightmare of fear and crushing boredom, confined in many cases to small windowless cabins. Disembarkation is expected to take around 3 days as more test results become available. Anyone who has had contact with an infected passenger will have to undergo 14 more days in quarantine. In addition, the crew will begin a new quarantine when the last passenger has disembarked. The Japanese government is ready to help repatriate 78 Indonesian citizens employed as the Diamond Princess cruise liner's crew members quarantined in Yokohama waters if the Indonesian government decided to bring them home. Japanese Ambassador to Indonesia Masafumi Ishii stated in Jakarta on Tuesday night, the decision to evacuate them is still under the authority of the Indonesian government. The Japanese government is ready to facilitate communication between the Indonesian government and the company operating the cruise liner. The ambassador stated that the 78 Indonesian citizens aboard the cruise liner are all crew members. However, he did not know the exact number of the Indonesian citizens that had contracted the coronavirus or COVID-19 infection. Indonesian Foreign Minister Retno Marsudi had stated earlier in the day that 3 of the 78 Indonesian nationals working as crew members aboard the cruise ship quarantined in Yokohama, Japan, had contracted the coronavirus or COVID-19 infection. 2 out of the 3 infected Indonesian nationals have been taken to a hospital in the city of Chiba, while the other is in the process of heading to health facilities. This news comes to you over the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Transportation Ministry was coordinating with the Foreign Affairs Ministry in the possibility to evacuate Indonesians in Japan in the wake of the spread of the coronavirus or COVID-19. Air Transportation Director General Novi Rianto said the evacuation time had not been decided yet, waiting for the order by the Foreign Affairs Ministry. Novi said, as reported by Business on Wednesday, however, confirmed that his side did not tap a certain airline. Every carrier was given the same opportunity, yet the determination of which carrier must be under the prevailing regulations, such as having an operational license from the related country and proper aircraft. This was the same as the evacuation of Indonesians from Wuhan, China. Meanwhile, Transportation Minister Budi Karya Sumadi said his staffers were waiting for the instruction from the leading sectors team of Health Ministry and Foreign Affairs Ministry. According to Budi Karya, many Indonesians were still residing in the mainland of China and chose to stay there despite the novel coronavirus outbreak. However, his site was open to evacuation options. Indonesian courage, cooperation and coordination with other countries in dealing with COVID-19, head of Foreign Cooperation Office, Ministry of Health, Acep Sumantri said in a talk show held by Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta on Wednesday. Acep Sumantri also said cooperation, particularly between the World Health Organization member countries, in sharing information about the situation in their respective countries is the most important thing. Moreover, mutual cooperation among countries also needed to build capacity, especially for countries that still have unqualified health system in handling virus outbreak like COVID-19. Earlier, Indonesian President Joko Widodo had offered his willing to help Chinese government in facing health crisis caused by COVID-19, which began to spread from Wuhan, Hubei province, China. The U.S. digital company Google donates $1 million, or around 13.6 billion rupiahs, for Bebras Indonesia, a non-profit educational organization. The donation will be used to fund the training of computational thinking skills for 20,000 teachers in 22 cities in Indonesia. As quoted by Tempo, Managing Director of Google Indonesia, Randy Yusuf, in a statement in Jakarta on Tuesday, said that preparing Indonesia for the future of the digital global economy is not only the government's responsibility, but also all parties' responsibility. This contribution is channeled through the company's philanthropic organization, google.org, with the funding. Bebras will train 12 million students for 2 years. They will be taught to think critically and to solve difficult problems, so they are not merely memorizing. Bebras Indonesia Chief Ingriani Lim said that to be a skilled, good, and ethical user of technology is not enough. She stressed that children's computational thinking skills also need to be developed since early ages so that one day they can be creators of digital products. Well, listener, that's the news.
Here is today's commentary entitled Afghanistan Post-Election. Afghanistan Elections Commission last February 18, 2020, officially announced Ashraf Ghani was re-elected as president of Afghanistan for the second period. In this presidential election, Ghani won 50.64% over his rival Abdullah Abdullah. Afghan politics is in a polemic after President Ashraf Ghani's main rival rejected the result of the initial September's election. Abdullah's team submitted thousands of evidence of fraud about the initial results and said tens of thousands of votes for Ghani were fraud. He rejected the result of the count after being announced by calling himself the winner based on clean votes. Ashraf Ghani's re-election was also in the spotlight, bearing in mind that in 2014, the second round was held amid complaints of massive fraud. After an agreement facilitated by the US, Ghani became president, sharing power with Abdullah in the government of National Unity. These two figures have shared power over the past 5 years in a united government formed by the United States after allegations of widespread fraud and corruption in the 2014 poll. The Taliban, which was overthrown by US forces in 2001, demanded the withdrawal of foreign troops from the country and condemned the election as fraud. The Taliban even urged Afghans to boycott the polls and threatened to attack security forces, blockade roads, and target polling stations across the country. More than 72,000 security personnel were deployed to 49,402 national polling stations, while 410 polling centers were closed Saturday due to security concerns. With the complications of the election process in Afghanistan, in fact, the homework of the president-elect is still quite a lot. Among them, ensuring his political rivals support his leadership period to competitions and securing negotiations with the Taliban. Hopefully, Afghanistan can overcome the various problems being faced. That was commentary. I'm Nuka Kusumawati.
Today in history, I'll begin with February 19, 1948. The Southeast Asian Youth and Student Conference for Freedom and Independence begins. The Southeast Asian Youth and Student Conference for Freedom and Independence was held in Calcutta, India from February 19 to 23, 1948. The conference was organized by the World Democratic Youth Federation and the International Union of Students. It was often claimed to be the starting point for a series of armed communist uprisings in Asian countries. The conference was attended by delegations from Burma, China, Ceylon, India, Indonesia, Malaya, Nepal, Pakistan, the Philippines, the Soviet Union, and Vietnam. Turning to February 19, 1960, the China T-7 research rocket prototype is launched. T-7 is the name of the first Chinese-sounding rocket launched into orbit. The T-7 prototype was first launched on February 19, 1960, and the real rocket on September 13, 1960. The T-7 carried a 25-kilogram load to a height of 58 kilometers. It has a length of 8 meters, a launch weight of 1,138 kilograms, and a diameter of 45 centimeters. A sounding rocket is also called a research rocket. It is designed to take measurements and conduct scientific experiments during the suborbital flight. Thank you. I'll end with February 19, 1986, the Akarai Patu Massacre. The Akarai Patu Massacre occurred on February 19, 1986, when around 80 Tamil agricultural workers were allegedly killed by Sri Lankan army personnel. Their bodies were burnt in the eastern province of Sri Lanka. The incident came to light just days after community leaders visited a remote location near the town of Akarai Patu, where the workers were shot. Well, that was today in history over Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, from Indonesia to the world.
Separuh jiwaku pergi. Memang indah semua, tapi berakhir luka. Kau main hati dengan sadarmu. Kau tinggal aku, benar ku mencintaimu. Tapi tak begini, kau hianati hati ini. Curangi aku, benar ku mencintaimu, tapi tak begini, kau hianati hati ini, kau curangi aku.
Listener, you are still with us on Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. For this segment, we would like to give you information about My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Today's edition of My Indonesia is titled Trade Minister Visits the United States to Increase Export. Indonesian Trade Minister Agus Suparmanto visited the United States on February 13 to 15 to increase export and remove trade barriers between the United States and Indonesia. On the first day, Minister Agus Suparmanto met representatives from the United States Trade Representative USTR in Washington. They discussed import duty relief facility or generalized system of preferences. Minister Agus explained that in the meeting on Thursday morning, the U.S. Trade Representative had agreed on some matters that had not been negotiated yet. A number of unnegotiated matters, including issues related to joint insurance with the Financial Services Authority, OJK, and new horticulture product import regulation after the U.S. won a lawsuit against Indonesia at the dispute settlement body of World Trade Organization, WTO. The minister hoped the generalized system of preferences discussion can be finished before Indonesian President Joko Widodo visits Las Vegas to attend the ASEAN-US summit in mid-March 2020. On the second day, Minister Suparmanto received some U.S. business people representative joined in U.S.-ASEAN Business Council (USABC). They discussed some trade barriers, including e-commerce sector. After the meeting, the minister said, e-commerce regulation is purposely made to record businesses on electronic platform taking place in Indonesia. The regulation is aimed at protecting consumers in Indonesia. Meanwhile, USABC delegation, led by President and CEO of US-ASEAN Business Council, Alexander Feldman, hopes Indonesia can increase the effort, thereby it is ready to receive information and communication technology investment, mainly in terms of regulation, infrastructure, and investment barrier reduction in that sector. Minister Agus Suparmanto also explained about the development of omnibus law that will facilitate investors and business people to invest in Indonesia. Omnibus law was also called as a policy expected by business people because there were many regulations burdening the business people, especially related to licensing, that soon will be simplified. In the meeting, there were also Indonesian Coordinating Minister for Maritime and Investment, Luhut Binsar Panjaitan, Minister of Communication and Information Technology, Joni G. Plate, as well as Deputy Minister of Foreign Affairs, Mahendra Siregar. Besides discussing on trade development, in the meeting, Indonesian delegations also promoted investment, including development investment opportunity in the new capital city. That was My Indonesia.
From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program.
Memanjakan diriku padamu. Aku tak melupakanmu, hanya hilang sekejap tuk yakinkan ku sanggup tanpamu. Kan ku terima kenyataannya agar kau dapat menggapai kebahagiaanmu. Aku tak melupakanmu, hanya ingin melangkah maju tanpa mengingat dirimu. banyakkan menata hatiku, pulihkan diriku. Ku kan tunjukkan padamu agar kau tak pernah menyesal mengenal diriku. Setiap kali ku ingin menghapusmu, selalu ada yang terindah mengingatkanku. Aku tak melupakanmu, hanya ingin melangkah maju tanpa mengingat dirimu. Aku tak melupakanmu, aku hanya berpura-pura melupakan dirimu.
Listener, you are still with us on Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. Listener, after listening Indonesian song, it is the right time for us to present next segment that talk about tourism and local wisdom of Indonesian people. And here is Indonesian Wonder.
The beaches in Lombok have long been known to be beautiful and amazing. This also makes the Thousand Island Mosque now one of the favorite destinations of foreign tourists. The foreign tourists are thirsty for the panorama of virgin nature and rarely touched by humans. One of them is Seger Beach. Seger Beach is one of the legendary and popular attractions in central Lombok Regency. The exact position is in the Sukadane village area, Pujut district, including one of the mainstay of Mandalika. This beach is actually still in line with Kuta Beach, Lombok. The two destinations are only about 2 kilometers apart. A visitor departing from Lombok International Airport, it takes about 30 minutes to get to Seger Beach. If you want to stay in the Senggigi area, the trip will take about 1.5 hours. Visitors does not need to worry about access. The condition of the road to the Mandalika area is very good. Seger Beach area is quite extensive. There are several points that you can explore to enjoy its natural beauty. Each side of this destination offers different panorama, also spoiled the eye. For those who want to see the charm of the beautiful Sugar Beach from a height, you can go up to the hill around the beach. In Sugar Beach, you will find a row of statues around the beach. The statues are in the North Beach, where the ocean current are calmer. You will see a kind of monument that depicts a princess about how to free herself from three men. This statue is none other than the legend of Princess Mandalika. The Sasak people believe that Sugar Beach is the location of Princess Mandalika to drown herself. Until now, the legend continues to be preserved through the Baunyale festival. When the annual event is held, residents will be busy trying to catch sea worms. This animal is believed to be a congratulations of Princess Mandalika. Well, listener, that was our segment Indonesian Wonder featuring Segara Lombok Beach. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. Thank you for listening.
Kata yang mampu utarakan betapa
Listener, for the next segment, we will present you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. In our program, Let's Speak Indonesian Language, we will introduce you to some Indonesian vocabularies and expressions, and we invite you to speak in Indonesian language. And this program is a cooperation program between the Voice of Indonesia and the Department of Language Development and Language Education of the Indonesian Ministry of Education and Culture. And here is Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
This is Voice of Indonesia with Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in the Indonesian language on the radio. We introduce some Indonesian vocabulary and tips on how to use it in a conversation. This segment is a joint initiative of Voice of Indonesia and the Language and Book Development Agency, the Indonesian Ministry of Education and Culture. Today's topic is membuat janji or making appointment. Listen to this conversation about membuat janji or making appointment. Kevin looks for homestay with Pak Imran. They promise to meet after the lunch by phone.
Halo Pak.
Ya, halo.
Gini Pak, saya mau mencari tempat kos hari ini. Apakah Bapak bisa menemani saya?
Bisa. Pukul berapa ya?
Bagaimana kalau setelah makan siang?
Oke, kita bertemu di lobi hotel ya.
Now I'm going to introduce the vocabularies and expressions related to that topic today. I will say each word slowly and twice. You can follow after me. Halo, which means hello. Tempat kos, which means homestay. Bertemu, which means to meet. Saya mau mencari tempat kos hari ini. Saya mau mencari tempat kos hari ini, which means I want to look for a homestay today. Apakah Bapak bisa menemani saya? Apakah Bapak bisa menemani saya? Which means can you accompany me? Pukul berapa? Pukul berapa? Which means at what time? Bagaimana kalau setelah makan siang? Bagaimana kalau setelah makan siang? Which means, why don't we go after the lunch? Kita bertemu di lobby hotel. Kita bertemu di lobby hotel. Which means, we'll meet at hotel lobby, okay? In the conversation, Kevin says, bagaimana kalau setelah makan siang? When making appointment, people usually discuss about time and place to meet. To ask the opinion of someone who will meet with you about time and place, you can use expression bagaimana kalau, which means how about. For example, bagaimana kalau setelah makan siang, which means how about after lunch. Bagaimana kalau bertemu di lobby hotel? Bagaimana kalau bertemu di lobby hotel? Which means, how about at hotel lobby? To respond to the question, you can say, okay, baiklah, or alright, saya setuju, or I agree, or ide bagus, which means it's a good idea, if you agree. But if you do not agree, you can say, maaf, saya tidak bisa. Which means, sorry, I can't. Let's listen to other examples. Bagaimana kalau setelah makan siang? In English, how about after lunch? Maaf, saya tidak bisa. Saya ada janji. In English, sorry, I can't. I have another appointment. Bagaimana kalau kita pergi ke puncak? In English, why don't we go to puncak? Ide bagus. In English, it's a good idea. If you do not agree, you can say, maaf, saya tidak setuju. Tempatnya terlalu jauh. Maaf, saya tidak setuju. Tempatnya terlalu jauh. In English, sorry, I do not agree. It's too far. For additional information, besides for asking opinion, the word bagaimana or how is also used to ask about way. For examples, bagaimana cara pergi ke sana? In English, how do we go there? Or how to go there? Bisa naik motor atau bus? Bisa naik motor atau bus? In English, we can go there by motorcycle or by bus. Bagaimana cara mendaftar? Bagaimana cara mendaftar? In English, how do we register? Isi formulir ini dahulu. Isi formulir ini dahulu. In English, fill out the form first. Listener, before we end today's Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, let's listen to the conversation once more.
Halo, Pak.
Ya, halo.
Gini, Pak. Saya mau mencari tempat kos hari ini. Apakah Bapak bisa menemani saya?
Bisa, bisa. Pukul berapa ya?
Bagaimana kalau setelah makan siang?
Oke. Kita bertemu di lobi hotel ya.
That was Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in Bahasa Indonesia, or the Indonesian language on the radio. Hopefully, this edition will be useful for those who want to know more about Bahasa Indonesia. See you next week with other interesting topics. Sampai jumpa.
Pernah kau curi dariku.
Listener, you are still with us on Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. And listeners, next segment, we would like to give you information about Indonesian music. Hopefully, it can also entertain you. Here is Music Corner.
Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. Listener, welcome back to Music Corner. Today we present a song from West Sumatra titled Bareh Solo. The lyrics of the song use Minang language. In Indonesian language, bareh means brass or rice in English. And Solok is the name of a region in West Sumatra. Therefore, the song tells a story of rice from Solok, which is delicious and famous among people in the region. The lyrics mention that the rice of Solok rice, which is cooked in boiler, produce delicious taste. Moreover, when the rice is eaten with bitter melon salad and sambal or condiment. Listener, let us listen to the song Bareh Solo by Eli Kasim. Enjoy the song.
Bareh Solo, tanah adidandang, dipanggato ulang pario, bunyi kulek cando badendang de di tingkah. Si sambalado urang sumpu jalan barampe di singkara singgah dahulu. Makan copange ikin da tampak ondehan mamin tua lalu. Bareh Solo, bareh nanamo, bareh Solo nama rasonyo.
Voice of Indonesia.
sayan badan sarupoiko.
Listener, we end our togetherness in English language program broadcasting. Thank you for your kind attention, for listening our English program. And don't go anywhere and keep listening for our another program. So stay with us on Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. Listener, don't forget to like and comment at Facebook The Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, Instagram voice.of.indonesia, Twitter at voindonesia, and our email address voi@voinews.id.